So we'll start the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The first Mishnah discussed Melechas Hotzah, and now the Mishnah is going to discuss the Gzeiros Chachamim with regard to Hotzah, specifically on Erev Shabbos, because if you begin certain things on Erev Shabbos, you might forget yourself, and you might violate the Shabbos. So therefore, Lo Yetzei Achayet B'machto. So the tailor is not supposed to be holding his needle, his sewing needle, on Erev Shabbos, Samach L'chashecha, when it's close to darkness. Now the Yerushalmi says that Samach L'chashecha means Samach L'mincha, but that doesn't mean Mincha G'dola, because that's many hours before the Shabbos, but rather Mincha K'tana, so it's getting closer to Shabbos. But the Prima Gadim interprets, and it's quoted in Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Nun Beis, that we're talking about Samach L'chashecha, meaning Chatzisha Kodem Chashecha. In other words, before Bein HaShmoshos. And if he's holding his machat, then he might come to carry it on Shabbos itself. It's so close to Shabbos. Shema Yishkach V'yetzei. No, it's maybe he'll go out of his Rishus HaYochid right after Shabbos began. Because if he's going to be allowed to go out a little bit before Shabbos, the next time he might go out on Shabbos itself, after Chashecha. And he's carrying his machat. Now what's going to be if he puts his machat inside his beged? That's going to be an issue in the Gemara itself. But right now we're talking about carrying his machat by hand. So that's what we have so far. Now one of the main issues that we have to discuss in this sugya, which is going to be here on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, is going to be the issue of gzera l'gzera, meaning whatever gzeras that we see here in the Mishnah, for example, Shema Yishkat V'yetze, in the case of a chayat, are we talking about a gzera otu a doraisa, full-fledged melechas hotzah? So for example, if we're assuming that he's holding the machad in his hand, then if he goes out into Rosh Hashanah with a machat, he might complete a meleches hotzah. But if, on the other hand, the machat is, let's say, tochuv bebigdo, then that already, in and of itself, even on Shabbos, would only be a gzera derabbana, because that's not derech hotzah. So that's going to be a gigantic machlokas here in the Gemara, as we'll see, Mirtz Hashem, between Abai and Rova. Now, the language of the Mishnah, Shema Yishkach V'yetze, is a little bit strange, because he went out with his machat, Samach L'chashecha L'shus HaRavim. Maybe the Mishnah should have said, Shema Yishkach V'yachnisenu, that will take it back into Rosh HaYochid. So the Pnei Yoshua says that perhaps what the Mishnah has in mind is Shema Yishkach V'yavirenu Arba Amas P'shus HaRavim. So that's what the word V'yetze means. Yetze means to go out into Rosh Hashanah and he'll carry it for Amos in Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, the Mishnah at the very beginning of Masechta Shabbos uses the language Hotza'ah, because the Akiras Chefetz Mimkoma is called Hotza'ah. That's the Gemara back on Daf Beis Amud Beis. So we're not really afraid that he'll take it back into Rosh Hashanah. What we're more afraid of is going out into Rosh Hashanah. Because from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that's already nikar. That's already something that a person will pay attention to. So we're not really afraid of that. But the case of Mavir, Rosh Hashanah, Dalan Amos, that's not something that a person will necessarily pay attention to. Now the Mishnah adds another case, and that is lo alav lor bekul moso. So we're talking about a sofer, a scribe, and he has his quill, and he shouldn't go out. Erev Shabbos, Sovach Lecha Sheikha. What's the chiddush here? In this case, he says that a kumus is much larger than a machat. And something that's small, you have more of a chashash that maybe you might forget and go carry it. But something so large as a kumus, relative to a machat, that we would think that maybe he'll remember. We don't have to be choshesh, kamashmon, that even something a little bit larger, like a kumus, we still have a gzeirat rabbanan. Now this was Erev Shabbos. And now we're going to talk about things that the Chachamim prohibited on Shabbos itself because he might come to do a malocha. V'lo yefale es kelev. Kelev here means begadov. The word yefale actually comes from the Lashon yevaer, which means lahasir, to remove something. And he shouldn't remove little bugs that he might find on his begadim. The Gemara is going to talk about why that's also. Vishalo yikra liar ner, and he shouldn't read close to the light. In those days, they didn't have electric lights like we have. They had a ner, which was a receptacle. It had oil in it, and it was tilted in such a way that the oil would come down and feed the flame. But sometimes the oil was not coming down well, and you might be tempted to tip the nair in such a way that the oil will begin to come down. And that's called Meleches Havara on Shabbos. So therefore one should not read too close. You know, he'll see that he's trying to read the small print and the R is not intense enough, so he might come to the mate. That's called Hatoyas Haner. Now, there's a discussion here in the Achronim, Rabbi Kveger and others, about the Iser of Lo Yafle Es Kelov. Why doesn't the Mishnah say Lo Yafle Es Rosho? People are looking in their hair sometimes to try to find little bugs or things like that. So he writes, Kevan sha'odam eino yochol liflos li'atzmo es rosho. He says, as opposed to begadav, where he can do it by himself, he doesn't need anybody's help, with regard to his hair, he needs someone else. And once you have two people, one will remind the other, so there's no kshash. In the case of shemayate, with regard to the ner, so that it could be, later on, we'll have a discussion about two people who are reading the Or HaNer. And if one of them would be tempted lahatos, then the other one would prevent him. That's what we have to think about that as we go through the sugya. Now the Tana of our Mishnah doesn't explain the Isur, the Tama Isur, neither in the case of Lo Yifala nor in the case of Or HaNer. It's interesting because in the Reisha, with regard to Chayat, the Tana goes out of his way to say Shema Yishkach V'yetze. And later on in the case, at the end of the Mishnah, which is going to have to be the case of eating with a Zava, the Mishnah is going to say Shalom Mipnei Hergel Avera. So both in the Reisha and the end of the Mishnah goes out of its way to explain the reason and the Chashash why they made this enactment, this Gezerah. But here, the Mishnah didn't do so. It could be that the reason for this is because there are situations in which there's no chashash of shemayate. Like let's say, for example, the ner is very high up. But nevertheless, lo chilku chachamim. And that's called a low plug. But in other cases, we're going to see that if there's no room for the gzera, then the gzera doesn't apply. We're not going to go beyond the tam of the gzeir, but in the case of lo yafla, in the case of araner, lo yikra li araner, that's going to be an absolute iser, and therefore the Mishnah didn't want to confuse us or mislead us by writing the tam. Now we spoke about shalo yafla, The Aruch writes that Shalo Yafla means Shalo Yivdok es Vgadov Mehakinim. And this is based on a targum, on a pasuk in Dvarim. It says, Lo Tefair Achrecha, Lo Tafli bit Basroch, which means Lo Yivdok V'yichape Sachar HaZesim HaNoflim V'yesh Shechoved Ala Eitz. So Lo Yafla means Lo Yivair, Lo Yisalek, Lo Yosir. And it also has the meaning of Lo Yivdok. You shouldn't check it out carefully. Now the Mishnah goes on to give us what we call a halacha psuka. And when the Mishnah wants to do so, it introduces it by saying Be'emes Amru. HaChazan. Now the Chazan is the person who calls up the Olim, the seven Olim to Kriyas HaTorah, and he has to show the Ola exactly where we're up to in the Kriya. And that's especially true for the first Ola. It could also be that the Chazan has other responsibilities, which we'll see as we go along. Now, if the Chazan on Leil Shabbos wants to prepare himself for tomorrow, for Shabbos morning, and he wants to make sure that he knows where they're up to in the Chumash, so Roeh Heichan HaTinokos Korin Avalhu Lo Yikra. They're not going to allow him to read Lior HaNer because he's also included in the Gzera of Sheva Yatheh. But they did allow for some leniency when the children would learn with their Rebbe, and the minhag was that on Friday night they would learn together with Rabbam. And the halacha was very lenient with regard to the children. Korin, they're allowed to read the Seder HaParshios, Lior HaNer. And what we're going to allow is that the Chazan could take a look, or sort of like peek over the head of the child and see exactly where they're up to in Seder HaParshios. So he'll know exactly where they should begin Kriyas HaTorah. And that they allowed. And it could be that once he knows the beginning of the parasha where they're going to start reading, he's going to be able to help each ola to the Torah. And here we see that the Chazan had another responsibility. Not only was he responsible to show the ola exactly where we're going to start the Kriya, but he would also help the ola to read Binakudos V'taimen, to read properly with the right vowels and the right trup. And it could be that the Chazan's responsibility was also to take the Sefer Torah out on Shabbos to the Beis HaKnesses. He was the one who did the Hotzah for the Beis HaKnesses. But it was very important that he would know exactly where they finished the previous parasha and how to divide up the seven kruim. So for the sake of the Chazan, they allowed him to take a look at the Tinokos who are reading the Or HaNer and see exactly where they were beginning and where they were ending. And that was a heter that they gave to the Chazan, because he doesn't need an iyun rav. He doesn't really have to look carefully at the words of the Torah. He just has to get an idea of where to start and where to end. In the case of someone who's reading Lior HaNer, since he's going to concentrate on his reading, we're afraid that he might come to be Mata or HaNer. As far as the children themselves are concerned, Chazal permitted the Tinokos to read Lior HaNer, even though for an adult that would be Asur. Satosa says that this was a minog, but it wasn't really a lechatchila, that wasn't the ideal, but Chazal said, let him do it. Ein mochim biyadu. But other Rishonim say that for the Tinokos is mutalehem likros Lior HaNer. Right, we're not afraid that they'll come to do Atoya, and that's based on a principle called Emas Rabam Alehem. In other words, they don't make decisions and move on their own. They do whatever the Rebbe tells them to do. So they're under the tutelage and the supervision of their Rebbe. Therefore, the Gzera Shema Yate or HaNer was not applied in the case of Tinokos. And also it could be that, again, this is the psychology of the children. The Meiri says that children would really, it's like a Tino Kaporech, Mibes HaSefer, they would really hope that the Nair would go out because then they'll send them home. So there's no Kshash of Shemayat. So we have Machlokis, Yatosus. Later on, we didn't get to it, but Tos is going to say that for the Tinokos, Ein Mokim B'Yadam, but the other is shown in the Rambam, the Meiri, and others, they'll say that it's L'chatchila Mutter for the Tinokos. Now the last part of our Mishnah addresses an entirely different topic, but it's also based on Harchaka, on these enactments of the Chachamim to keep a person far away from an Avera. Chayotzi Bo, Lo Yochal Azovim Azova, Mipnei Hergel Avera. So a Zova, as you know, is a woman who had 3 years on 3 days during the period of Yimei Ziva, the Yud Aleph Yimei Ziva. And her status is pretty much the same as that of a Nida, which means that if a man would have a relationship with her, he would violate an Isakaris. Our Mishnah is addressing the case of a husband and a wife. And she's a Zava, and there's no Isa Yichud. That's a sugya at the end of Masechta Kiddushin that it's called Paspasala, but whatever it is, he's allowed to be alone with his wife. But there's certain activities which are a little bit more intimate. We call them chiba, and as a result of chiba, he might come lidei hergel avera. Now, in the case of a nida, generally speaking, as long as they eat from separate plates, that's enough. But here, in the case of zava, it seems that they were more machmir, and they said lo yochal Hazovim Hazovim Ibnei Hergel Avera. He might come to have a relationship with her, which would be a violation of an Isur Kares. So again, a Zav is a woman who saw Dam during the 11 days Bein Nidal and Nida. And the Chazal were very afraid, Shemiyova Lidei Avera. And the Mishnah wants to tell us that because of this chashash, therefore, they made this isur, and that is lo yochal. Now, exactly what the parameters of the isur are, we're going to have to see in the sugya how far we went. Rashi says that because they have yichud together, that's a husband and a wife, that's going to lead them perhaps to have this avera, and that's what the Mishnah means by saying hergel avera. And it's interesting that the Mishnah went out of its way to give us an explanation as to why they made this gzera. In the case of Shemiyat or Aner, the Mishnah didn't even bother doing so. So that's an issue in the Achronim here. Now, at the time of the Chachamim, everybody ate what's called chulin b'tara. They were very careful about tara. And therefore, we'll see later on in the Gemara that gam below tam shel hergel avera, even without this reasoning that's offered by the mission of hergel avera, there's another reason why a husband should not eat with his wife when she is a zava. And that's because of what's called chulin b'tara, kidei shel yitamu es ha-macholim. As he brings in his food, and it's tar, and she might come in contact with the food and be metameit. So that's going to be a sugya later on. So it could be that back at the time of the Chachamim, there were two reasons for this Isur. One is hergel avera, and the other is between shmiras chulin b'tara. Okay. Now we start the Gemara. Tnan Hasam. So we have a Mishnah in Masechta Erevin. Lo yamod adam b'rishus hayochid. A person shouldn't be standing in b'rishus hayochid and drinking, meaning he puts his hand and his head over the boundary of b'rishus hayochid, and he's holding on to a utensil, and he's drinking from that utensil when his hands and his head are in Rishus HaRabim. And the flip side, he shouldn't be standing b'shus harabim and stretching out his hand that's holding a kli and his head, the yishta b'shus hayachid, and drinking from b'shus hayachid. And in both these cases, the gzera was, and that's the mission of Erevin, shemi yishkach shu Shabbos. He might forget that it's Shabbos, and he might take out the kli. So again, if he's standing in b'shus Hayachid, then he takes out the kli to Rishus Arabim, and that's considered Melechas Hotzah. If he's standing in Rishus Arabim and he brings the kli into Rishus Hayachid, that's Melechas Hachnosa. But in both cases, he would be Chayv Achatas. And the Chashash is that he was Oker the kli, and he had in mind to bring it back or to take it out. So there was an Akira Litzarech Hotzah. Again, in this particular case, the akiru is done b'shogeg, so he's maximum he'll only be chayav a carbon. But nevertheless, the rabbanan made this gzera, and they didn't want the person to violate the Shabbos. But now the Mishnah that's quoted here is going to give us a limitation. There are some cases where there's a less of a chashash, and that's called heker. What's a heker? Heker means something to remind you. Avalim hithnis rosho verubo. If they forced him to do something unusual, which he wouldn't have normally done, but he's doing it because it's Shabbos, and that is, they're going to force him to move his entire body, or rov gufo, I should say, into the other rishus to drink. So that's called avalim hithnis rosho verubo lemakom shushose mutar, and that's called a heker. That's meant to remind him that today is Shabbos. He normally wouldn't have pushed his whole body, or most of his body, over the ledge, you know, in order to drink or in order to retrieve some water. But here, in this case, since they reminded him, and he'll be aware of the fact that it's Shabbos because he's doing something unusual, he's pushing his whole body out, therefore there's no chash that he'll be motzi or machnis, the kli, from Rishus HaRab, Rishus HaYochid. And this concept of heker, with regard to Shabbos, that we remind you that Shabbos, is something that we find it in many, many different areas of halacha, but it plays a special role in Shabbos. Like, for example, just to give one example, I'm sure there are many examples, but if you have a mavui, which is technically speaking Rishus HaYochid, but the Rabbanan are afraid that you might confuse it with Rishus HaRabim, so they ask you to make a heker. You put up a lechi, you put up a korah. These are things that are meant to remind you that it's Shabbos, or remind you that it's a Rishus HaYochid, not a Rishus HaRabim. Now the question here of malacha, lechora, has to do with the kli. There's a long discussion here, which I have quoted here, based on Tosfos here, Tosfos elsewhere, in Erevin, about what about the mashkim themselves. He says, v'yafsha mashkim nivla'im d'me'a v'heim b'shus acheres. He says, when he drinks the water, he drank it in the other rishus because he stretched his head out to drink. So the mashkim are now located in another rishus when he pulls his body back. Why isn't that itself considered a melechas achnosa, melechas hotzah? And Tosfos says, ein zeh nechshav akira b'rishus harab mo hanoch b'rishus hayochid kevan shemiyad sheboleas hamashkim heim nechnosim derech grono. So we're assuming that within a fraction of a second, as soon as he drinks the water goes down and it's already nach. So I'm not sure if we want to go into all the details here because we want to make a little progress, but this is a fascinating question about whether or not there's an akira from one rishus to the other on the mashkin that he's drinking. Okay, now we get to the main sugya for today, the machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Now, v'chein begat. Okay, the Mishnah says v'chein begat. Now, the gat is the place where they did the dricha, and they used to stomp upon the grapes and make wine. And the Gemara is going to tell us that we have here a machlokas v'chein abai v'rov. Now, exactly what are the parameters of this v'chein begat, which is a certain kind of a kli? You'll take a look at Rashi. He just tells you l'kavi mefarishli, that we really don't know what v'chein begat is. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to discuss a karmelis. Iboilahu. Here's the suffix. Karmelis. My. What's the din as far as drinking in a karmelis? Let's say I'm standing in one rishus. Am I allowed to stretch out my head into a karmelis and drink in the karmelis? So just give an example or two of a karmelis. A karmelis would be like a valley or some sort of field, and although it's open to the rabbin, but nevertheless, people don't usually go in there, or a yam, or a midbar, different places that are open. Technically, they're wide enough to be a rishus or rabbin, but it's not rabbin mitzuyim sham. So the rabbanim made a gzera, and they considered a karmelis to be both a rishus hayochin and a rishus harabim. In other words, they imposed the chumras of both rishus hayochin and rishus harabim. Rishus hayochin because it's very private; it's a private area in a sense that people don't usually go in there, and one might confuse it with rishus hayochin. And it's also rishus harabim because since it's open technically to anyone, it's an open area, therefore people might confuse it with rishus harabim, and therefore you're not allowed to take something into a karmelis from rishus hayochid or from rishus harabim. You can't take something out of a karmelis into rishus harabim or rishus hayochid. But what's this din? What would be the din as far as this gzera that if we allow you to drink by putting your head out into another rishus, you might come to violate hotzah? But here, it's not even a havamina, because in the worst case scenario, you'll only violate the Isur Hotzah of a karmelis. Rabbi, Abai says that the din of a karmelis is identical with the din of a Rishus Doraisa. In other words, the Chachamim equated karmelis with a Rishus Arabim in the case where he wants to drink and he's standing in Rishus Ayachim, or with a Rishus Ayachim if he's standing in Rishus Arabim. Everything is awesome. And this is a pellet, because Abai is the Baal HaShita. He's the one in Masechta Beita who's famous for saying Shlo Gozru Chachamim Gzeru L'Gzeru. And Rav is about to object against Abai for that very reason. But what's Abai's, you know, what's his method of thinking here? And what we're going to see is that Abai holds that Hotzah is different than any other Gzeru. And we're going to see over and over again that Abaye is going to accept Gzeru L'Gzeru with regard to Melechas Hotzah. Very strange. Why Hotzah is the exception to the rule? And that's why this whole sugi that we're going to have now about Abaye V'Rova, Rias this way, Rias that way, about whether there is Gzeru L'Gzeru or not, it's all about Melechas Hotzah, because here's the case where Abaye sets up the exception to the rule, and even though the rule of Abai himself is lo gazru chacham gzeru l'gzeru, but here they did in the case of Hotzah. And Tosus says that Hotzah is very matzui, it's something that's so common, v'chmir bo chachamim l'gzar af gzeru l'gzeru. I would have said it a little differently. I mean, Lefianis Daita, I would have said that maybe what Abai is saying is that a karmelis was given a dinner rishus, and any gzera that you apply, if it's an gzera because of Rishus HaRav or Rishus HaYoch, is going to apply to a Karmelis because the Karmelis has Midrabbana and that status of Rishus. So it's not really a gzera l'gzera, it's just that once the Chachah, it's not that every time you carry into a Karmelis we're afraid, oh, you might come to carry into Rishus HaRav or Rishus HaYoch, but rather they gave a status to the Karmelis. But in any event, the Rashba says the following. So the Rashba wants to say that although the general rule is Ein Gozrin Gzeru L'Gzeru and Abaye is the Balashita, but nevertheless, in cases where Rabbanan felt that the first Gzeru would not be Omeid, what wouldn't have teeth to it unless you institute another Gzeru, so then we make an exception to the rule. So that this is a whole discussion. But here we get to Rava. Rava Amar, he gufa. You know, it's Karmelis itself is a gzera. Vanan nekum v'nigza gzera l'gzera. Are we going to add another gzera that maybe if he drinks he'll take something back into Rishus, you know, take the kli back into Rishus HaYochid or out into Rishus HaRavim? Well, we're not talking about Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRavim. We're talking about a biko. We're talking about a Rishus, which is a Karmelis. The whole entity is only Drabbanon. So we only make one Gzera. We don't make a Gzera Atu a Gzera. And this is based on a Pasuk, by the way. It says in the Pasuk, in Vayikra Yudches, says, Ushmartim is Mishmarti. And the Gemara tells us in a few places, Moikot Yivomis, Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmarti, which means the Chacham should make Gzeros, so that we're Shomer, that we should be careful not to violate any Sud Torah. But that's dafka mishmeres l'mishmeres. But, right? That's only mishmeres l'mishmarti. Mishmarti means to my law, says the Torah. But not a mishmeres l'mishmeres. But once you set up a mishmeres to make another mishmeres to a mishmeres, that's already a gzeru l'gzeru. So you'll see this in Rashi. Not here, but in Masechta Beitzah. The Ran has a kasha here based on a Gemara later on in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara speaks about Kavod HaBrios, and the Gemara wants to know about Hotzos HaMes Mishum Kavod HaBrios. Are you allowed to take the mess out into a Karmelis? Now, if you would take the mess out into Rishus HaRavim, that would be considered what's called a Malach HaShein Etzricha L'Gufa. In other words, it's not that he wants the mess out in Rishus HaRavim, he just wants to take the mess out of the Rishus HaYochid. He doesn't, you know, there's going to be a smell from the mess and so forth. So now we're saying that you're not allowed to take a mess out into a Karmelis, even though had it been a Rishus HaRavim Gemura, it would still be, in the worst case scenario, an Iser Derabbanan, because it's a Malach HaShein Etzricha L'Gufa. The Gemara says we might be Matir Mishum Kavod HaBrios. But if not for Kavod HaBrios, it would be Asur to be Motzi a mess into a Karmelis. That should be, says Naran, a Gzera L'Gzera. And nobody seems to argue with that sugya. It goes by unnoticed. And here Rav is making a big to-do about the fact that Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera. So the Ran answers, Shemidubar, he says the following, that our case is different than the case over there. Why? Dover she'ein bo klal dimyon de malacha, she'omid v'shus hayochid, v'shosev v'shus haramim, it doesn't look like a malacha. He's standing in one rishus, he's drinking another rishus, so what's the problem? Elagazu shemiyavo, he might take the kli, lahotzi rishus l'shus, and carry it from one rishus to the other. He says, in such a case, Rava insists, he tiru b'karmelis, because this would be gzera l'gzera. Aval, however, b'davra asu mishum malacha, if you're talking about a pu'ula, which in itself, the Rabbanan say is a malacha, kegono tzas ames, again, even though b'daraisa says malach shein tzricha l'gufa, what the Rabbanan did is they set it up as a malacha. In such a case, if it's a malacha midrabbanan, lo chilku b'mishus haram le karmelis. And he gives an example of chatzi shir. That let's say you did chatzi shir of malacha, then it would be usur even be karmelis. Now I'm not sure exactly how you'd have a chatzi shir in a karmelis, because two amos, I think, in a rishus harabim is mutal chatchil. I don't know. Maybe he means a different kind of chatzi shir. Maybe he carried less than a grogeres or so. So let's say, for example, in rishus harabim, or from one rishus, he carried a half a grogeres. That would be chatzi shir. So that's only usur derabanan. So he says that that isur derabanan in carrying a chatzi shir would be usur even in a karmelis. We're not going to be matter because we're going to say in a karmelis it's only derabanan. Why? Because it's something that's dome l'malacha. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Shechter Shlita has an entire essay on this topic. I don't know if he quotes this particular ran. I have to look it up. He has a sefer called the Ikve Atzon, if you're familiar with it. So he has one major piece there on what he calls Gzeiros Rabbanan as opposed to Malachos Rabbanan.
We discussed that.
Yeah, you remember that. Omar Abaye, Mino Aminolai. So Abaye says that I have a source from the Mishnah, again, this Vechein Begat, which we started with on the top of the Omer, we didn't know exactly what that meant. Then that's going to prove to me that even in Rishus Derabonon, like a Carmelist, they made a Gzera for a Hotzah, that we're afraid you'll do a Hotzah into Rishus Derabonon, into a Carmelist. The Ketoni Vechein Begat. My Begas, what's Gas? Well, what kind of Gas are we talking about? If Rishus Hayochid, it means that the size of this gat is asor tvachim, and it has the rocha of the width of arba tvachim al arba, asor tvachim high and arba tvachim wide. And the Tan is telling us that you're not allowed to stand in a rishus harabim and drink inside a gat. So he says that can't be what the Mishnah is telling us, because tnina. The Mishnah has already told us before the Vechein Begat that you're not allowed to stand in Rishus HaRabim and drink in Rishus HaYochid. In Rishus HaRabim, if let's say the Gat is very small, and as it doesn't have Asar Tvachim, and let's say it doesn't even have Shlosha Tvachim, and let's say the Gat is located in Rishus HaRabim, and if it's less than Shlosha Tvachim, then it's what's called Kara Smichtadon, means it has the same status as the Karka below it, and therefore it has the Din of Rishus HaRabim. Tanina, once again, we learned in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to stand in Rishus HaYochid and drink in Rishus HaRabim. So we marashach. If this Gat is Rishus HaYochid, it has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid, then the Mishnah already told me you can't stand in Rishus HaRabim and drink in Rishus HaYochid. Why did the Mishnah feel compelled to add Vechein Begat? And if the Gat doesn't have the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid, but rather has the dimensions of Rishus HaRabim, it means it's a very low, almost on the floor kind of gat. It's a very portable kind of gat. Is that, once again, the Mishnah says, I'll let us stay in the Rishus HaYochid and drink in Rishus HaRabim, El Allah, by process of elimination. What is this gat? It's a karmelis. Now, what makes it into a karmelis? So the answer is that since it's a kli of some sort, assuming it has a certain height and no one's going to step on top of it, right? Because like the Gemara has many discussions about things that aren't Rishus HaRabim, but they're very, people stomp on them and they step on them, and therefore they have a din of Rishus HaRabim. Here's something that sticks out from Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, it might have the din of a karmelis. And that's exactly what this Mishnah wants to teach us, that you're not allowed to stand in Rishus HaRabim or stand in Rishus HaYochid and drink from a gat, because the gat is considered a karmelis. So Abaye seems to be convinced that he has a clear-cut raya from our Mishnah that karmelis is included in this Iser, this Gzera of Lo Yishta. Now here Rashi and all the Rishonim ask the following question: how could the Gat be considered a Karmelis? We have a principle which is called Ein Karmelis B'Kelim. And the case in the Gemara is Kupa. What kind of a kupa? A kupa is like a receptacle, a big basket. And it's lower than 10 tefachim. It's wider than 4 tefachim. And it is a kupa, which means it's a kli. So it has the dimensions of a karmelis. It's wide enough to be a karmelis. It's not a rishus hayochid because it's less than asara tefachim. So it doesn't have mechitzos asara. But the Gemara establishes on Daf Ches that it's not a karmelis because of a principle called ein karmelis bekelim. And there's no isa tiltul in a karmelis if that karmelis is a keli because it doesn't have the status of a karmelis. Shelo gazru chacham al kelim din karmelis. So it means that a keli is not a rishus, and a rishus is not a keli, and those are two mutually exclusive things. So you can't have a keli that's a rishus. Now again, I went a little bit too far here probably, because there's a whole sugya of kaveres, which is a keli, and yet it has a din of rishus. So that has to be discussed in and of itself. So the answer here is, and this is offered by Tosis, Divya Maskil Elo, you'll see it's the second Tosis on the Daf. He says that there's some special din called Mechubra Lekarka, that a keli, if it's tied down, attached to the karka, loses its shape keli, and as a result, it would have the status of a karmelis. So let's just see how Rava rejects this raya from the Mishnah V'chein Begat. Rava Omar V'chein Begat, this has nothing to do with Shabbos. Now what we're about to embark upon is a long discussion about a Mishnah in Masros, in Masechta Masros. And the whole subject of the Mishnah in Masros has to do with what's called an Achilas Aroi. And the question is, drinking from a gat, is that considered an achilas aroi le'inyan maser? So the Mishnah says the following: v'chein omar Rav Sheshi v'chein legat le'inyan maser. What's the Mishnah? It's not. We have a Mishnah in the fourth parak of Masros. It says shosim. You're allowed to drink wine when you're leaning over to the gat. And you're not allowed to take the wine outside of the gat, because that would make it into a shtia kvua, which is asur, but you're allowed to drink it in b'ofen aroi. Bein al chamin, bein al atzonin. Whether or not he mixed the wine with hot water or with cold water. Upata bimaser. So again, even though you would have a chiv maser, normally, on wine is one of the cases of maser, it comes from anofen, but nevertheless, this shtia is considered a shtias aroi. So before you take the yayin out of the gat, it's considered aroi. And Rashi says the reason it's considered aroi is because adayin lo nigmara molachto, moleches hayayin. In other words, it still has to be continued to be pressed. In other words, you have some wine coming out, but the grapes are still in the process of being pressed. Says Rashi, Achim hotzi ayayim min agat, if he already removed the ayim from the gat, and he has no intention lahachzir, then it becomes a shtias kva. And a shtias kva is prohibited before Afrashas Masros, even before Gemar Malacha. So despite the fact that there was no Gemara Malacha, nevertheless it's Asur because it's a Shtia Kvua. And that could be the din here of V'chein Begat. So again, just to summarize, whereas Abai thought that V'chein Begat is about the Isur Shesia, the Gzera of Rosh HaBir Shusacheres, and the God as a caramel is. And we're not going to consider the gat as a keli. Ein karmelis bekeli because it's mechubra lekarka. Rav, on the other hand, understood that v'chein begat is not relevant to Shabbos at all. Has nothing to do with rishios to rabbanon and so forth. So there's no gzeirin rishios to rabbanon, but it has to do with maaser. And the question is whether or not we're afraid that if we allow him to drink in the gat, which is an achilas aroi, he might come to take it out of the gut and violate an Iser Maser of Achilas Keva. Okay, so we'll
read the two words here at the end.
Yeah, that's very strange, you know. You can see where Abai was very hesitant to go down that road.